from KQED.
The Bay Citizen went digging recently into the voting records of 22 healthcare districts across the state and found board members voting on multi-million-dollar contracts they had a personal stake in. One of the reporters, Catherine Miskowski, joins us now to talk about the details. So I got to ask, there are 74 health districts in California? What are these? What do they do?
Healthcare districts were started after the Second World War to bring hospitals to rural and underserved communities. But today, many of them don't provide hospital services or any kind of direct healthcare services. About 30 of them no longer run hospitals. And you might ask, well, what do they do then? Many of them oversee grants to improve the health of people in the community. Some of them oversee real estate holdings. Many of them are taxpayer supported. The district boards oversee about $4 billion annually in both public and private funds.
I'm wondering if you can give us an example of something you consider egregious self-dealing.
In Riverside County, a hospital there paid almost $100,000 to Burgess North American, a moving and storage business, which was co-owned by the son of one of the board members. And when they were considering moving their business to another company, that board member lobbied the board, you know, giving them pamphlets describing why they should stay with his business. So that was pretty, blatant.
And what did he say when you challenged him on that?
He said that distributing this pamphlet was not an attempt to influence the other board members' votes. Other board members did raise a red flag about this, and there was quite a fuss down there.
And I suppose in the end, they decided to go with a different company.
They did, in fact. Now, the agencies that are supposed to be overseeing these districts are called the local agency formation commissions. There's one in every county, and they do sort of periodic reviews of these districts. But we found in some cases they don't do the reviews at all, and they don't really look at conflicts of interest.
You scoured 5 years worth of contracts, vendor payments, tax filings, financial disclosures from 22 districts and found about 8 questionable transactions. Is that fair?
Yes.
Does that seem like a lot? In other words, I guess I'm asking, is this a serious problem that you're identifying across the state?
To me, the problem is just that no one is watching to see if these, problems are occurring, that no one was really raising a red flag about any of these transactions that we discovered, and that they're pretty easy to find. I mean, if you look at the financial disclosures that these board members are required to give, you can see very clearly, what their financial interests are, and then you can easily compare that to, what actions they're taking.
Is there anybody who argues that in this time of budget cuts, we shouldn't even have these districts anymore?
There certainly are people who argue that, but it's actually very hard to shut them down. In the rare cases where districts have where the local agency formation commission has moved to dissolve the district, sometimes the district fights it or indicates that they're going to, essentially spend public money to try to stay alive. And it's important to note that if a district is dissolved, it's not like the money goes back into the taxpayers' pockets. It just gets redistributed to other special districts in the area. So a lot of the healthcare districts have successfully argued that, this money won't go to healthcare needs if it doesn't go to us. It will go instead to the fire, district or the mosquito abatement district. And so because of that, these healthcare districts have a way of just kind of perpetuating themselves over time, even when it's sometimes unclear what they do.
Catherine Miskowski covers environment and health for the Bay Citizen, part of the Center for Investigative Reporting. We've got a link to her story online. Check it out at californiareport.org.